Chapter 14, A Kiss Before Dying.
Hello and welcome to Cry Me a Riverdale, the premier Riverdale podcast that totally is going to happen while the show is happening, finally, and for the first time ever. I am your host, John Reisinger. Joining me is the beautiful and gorgeous and glamorous Mikey Newman.
Common phrases used to describe me.
You've been called glamorous your whole life.
Glamorous.
Hey, Mikey, today has been emotionally weird, and holy hell, I needed Riverdale, and I got Riverdale, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
There was this point I teared up during the episode, and it wasn't because anything was going on. It was just I had missed it. I had missed these people because, one, like, from a very high level to bring you in, this is the beginning of season two, everyone.
Welcome.
Some characters are very different than where we last left them, nigh instantly, because of things they went through at the end of last season, and we're seeing the reemergence emergence of a new person. Specifically, definitely Cheryl. Like, when
Cheryl
we get to Cheryl,
is...
that's gonna be a convo.
Cheryl has changed channels.
She went from, like, Nickelodeon to HBO overnight.
That's a good way to put it. You should write words.
In the violent way, not the sexy way. Because although Archie and Veronica definitely went down the sexy corridor.
Yeah. Yeah, this is an episode. Let's talk about the episode. We get to talk about an episode the day after it came out.
Yeah, it no longer do you have to think back 6 months ago to when you watched the episode and try to remember what we're talking about. Now this just happened. And
there's
speaking
no
of just
spoilers.
Happened, we got a jug dub.
Got a jug dub. I'm glad they start with a jug dub because I need a jug dub.
That was my only problem with Gilmore Girls. Like, I love Gilmore Girls, but I was like, where's the jug dub? Like, it needed a jug dub.
Netflix should retroactively just put jug dubs into all their shows.
Right. So we basically start a couple minutes past where we left last season, as I called it, the Don't Do This Show scene, where Mr. Fred Andrews was punctured by a very hot, very fast moving piece of lead, sometimes called a bullet. In
perforated.
He was perforated. He was. It was a through and through. He was not in a good spot. But we learn immediately, as the jug dub takes a turn, I'm wondering if they keep pushing this. The jug dub was not past tense. It was narrating in real time.
Yeah. It also ended the episode that way too.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if going forward, if the jug dub is now sort of changing tenses a little bit here, because we really don't know what's going to happen. Archie is trying to get his dad to the hospital. He does not have a driver's license. I did not know that.
Yeah, Jug points that out. And maybe the change in tense is because he's no longer writing this. And so this might be just the omniscient voice of Jughead, who I assume at the end of this show evolves into a higher being that knows all and sees all.
Well, I mean, I always give voiceover a little benefit of the doubt. I feel like a burp coming on this could get really bad. Oh, I off-mic'd it. Look how pro I am.
Look how pro I am. Calling out how I didn't do something on the mic.
Well, yeah, I want credit for it.
Archie's driving down. He's in a truck. He doesn't have a license. He has not waited. I pointed out he did not wait for the ambulance. He is taking matters into his own hand. He is getting dad to the hospital.
And he's driving like through the snow and stuff. Like it's not a good place to drive for the first time. And he has to drive his wounded, dying father. Mm-hmm. And Jughead points out very directly, if he did not take that into his own hands and do that, Fred would have died. So Archie actually starts out at like heroic level 100 on this episode and really never leaves except for one scene where he gets a little snippy. Yeah. I just have be okay, Fred, be okay, Fred, be okay, like just a lot.
Yeah, and then the show really messes with us because we get to the hospital and then we do this whole flash forward thing that gets us all like thinking like, all right, we jump into graduation day. Everyone's in gowns and Fred's there and Molly Ringwald's there. And I can't remember what Andrew's mom's name is.
They continually call her Mrs. Andrews on
Molly
the show.
Ringwald.
They've said it. Yeah. It's Molly Ringwald. Mrs. Andrews. All four. You got to say all four hyphenated words or it doesn't count. But yeah, we know this is kind of a dream. Like something is weird.
Yeah.
Because this is a common thing in this episode is that Fred, I don't want to say he's in a coma. I don't want to go all the way that far, but he's definitely
under in an unconscious state.
Yeah, well, he went into surgery. They had put him under, so there was obviously a waiting period before he woke up.
Yeah,
Or doesn't wake up. I don't want to.
But yeah, it's the dream is kind of broken by I think it's Archie who reveals to Fred's dream self, "You didn't live to see this day," as he's commenting on the graduation day, and so you realize, dun dun dun, Fred is dying.
Every father dreams of the day their son will say, "You did not live to this day." Like that, Archie, still throwing bows.
We go to the Coopers.
Yeah, I would like to point out we do meet a very different Betty's mom. BM is a little. I mean, in this scene especially, Betty has all the power. She's trolling her mom like straight up, and Betty's mom ends up very human. Because she keeps dropping clues about how she was over at her boyfriend's trailer park unattended. And her mom's like, what? Like, she really has evolved, I think, since last season to have, what's the word? I wrote this down. God, what was the word? Oh, empathy. She has that now. That's the word I wrote down.
It's Alice Cooper has learned empathy, and it's super effective.
For at least a couple scenes.
She has a fantastic line in this scene that starts off this season, which is a lot of good lines, which is, "If that bean-wearing cad defiled you, I hope you were at least safe." And that's a fantastic way to talk about safe sex with your children.
So we move, because I don't think much else happens in that scene. We just kind of catch up with them.
Yeah, Betty also lets Mommy know about the serpents thing that happened at the trailer as well, which then is also a catalyst for her reactions to a lot of things later on this episode. But then Betty gets a phone call from Archie, and it's obviously him telling her the news.
Yeah, well, that's the thing this episode does is it has to reintroduce us to some of the characters before they know. But the audience is like, "Yo, Archie, call me, like, we got to get the Scoobies together. Your dad's in trouble."
Yeah.
And they don't really let that go for too long. But we cut over to Ronnie, who has made mimosas out of the crystal, which it's only like a $200 bottle. Like, calm down, Mom.
But it's the symbolic bottle. Or am I wrong?
How much is a bottle of crystal? Now I'm curious. I might be thinking of a different.
I've never had crystal.
I'm going to type crystal price.
I buy really, really cheap champagne. I went to a CVS New Year's Day at 10 o'clock in the morning to try to buy a bottle of cheap champagne for mimosas by myself, but I couldn't buy them because Texas has laws where you can't buy alcohol on a Sunday before noon. So I had to go back later.
My friend, yes, they are dumb.
And that was my sad New Year's Day story.
It's about $220 for like a mid-grade. Dom Perignon is a nicer bottle. The top Dom goes for about $500.
Ooh.
So getting a little cheap on your released husband.
Yeah, I think it's she got cheap on buying the champagne, but she's upset, I think, because of the symbolism of Ronnie is not abiding by conventional mother-daughter rules anymore and is really trying to just press her mom's buttons at any point.
At first I believed that, but it really, because Hermione is definitely one of the characters they have pushed to their brink. She is a garbage human now. She kind of went back and forth. She'd have good scenes. She'd have ones I loved her in. She'd be kind of mean or potentially violent, but now she is flirting with full on evil.
Yeah,
which was a move I was not expecting.
This scene ends in a funny way, and funny to me because Ronnie gets the call, and the call interrupts this conversation where Hermione is trying to chastise her child. Yeah. But Ronnie gets the call and literally gives her mom the hand, like, I got to take this. No, we're done. I got
to
take this.
She should have done that thing where she put a Bluetooth in her ear and then somebody tried to talk to him and they just point at it.
Yeah.
My biggest pet peeve in the world is
No,
they
can't.
Just point at their ear.
I can't.
Yeah, hon, that's an ear. Well, I don't. So we go to the hospital.
I like the idea of you, Mikey, saying "yeah, hun" to anybody.
I get out to. Is that Philly? Where is that regional? Because like "hun" is very big in one city. It was actually trademarked by a woman who was then shamed into giving the trademark up. I'm pretty sure that's Philly, but I could be wrong. Feel free to correct me in the comments, like and subscribe. All the I've been watching too much YouTube this week. It's like natural. Anyway, so we're at the hospital.
Let's go to the Jones's house first. Oh, yeah. Oh, well,
we learned that Jughead now has, he basically gets on his dad's bike.
That's important.
It is. Well, yes and no.
It's important because we just saw Jughead drive away on a motorcycle, which is kind of cool. And he's got a helmet with his symbol on it scratched into it.
But I'm it does give us pause because at the end of last season, if you remember, the serpent stopped by his house, give him a jacket, and Betty sees this and goes, "Whoa, don't be a serpent." And then he kind of opens as if he is a serpent.
Yep. Then we go to the hospital.
We see Archie, and he's doing really bad.
Yeah.
I had trouble watching this because I forget the actor's name again. Archie was great in this scene. I really, really enjoyed
good.
Him.
He was good.
And I also don't want to be a dick, but this is an additional point that needs to be said. His hair looked incredible. Like, for someone who just almost got murdered and had to drive everyone across town, I mean, it was perfect. And more importantly, he is also now the least selfish person in the world. Because he's just great in every scene. He's just always, because someone comes in and they're like, "Oh, did your mom know?" And instead of letting someone else call his mom, he just stands up and goes off to do it. He's like, "I got to tell her, I guess."
Yeah.
And he's really taken responsibility for a lot, which I like. Archie, you stepping up, man. You took my advice from last season watching Cry Me a Riverdale, which definitely you were listening to, writers. And
it definitely influenced this entire season.
Yeah, after you'd already written the new one and we were actually airing our last one.
They did revisions, reshoots, and all that. So one really important thing that happens in this scene before he goes off to talk to his mom, when someone calls out that he hasn't told her yet, is that when he is recalling what happened, the way he phrases it is he's talking about the gunman. He says he fired, and then there's a pause, which then is like the beginning of this season's mystery, you know, theme, where you could tell that there was something more to the story, but he doesn't want to tell anybody. He just kind of tells everybody. Then the gunman left, and I took Dad to the hospital. But there's something there.
I was really expecting this reveal, which we'll get to in a little bit. But it was definitely like setting something up to be a big. I really expected this to be the mystery of the season. Boy, how wrong I was.
Yeah.
The freaking cameo at the end of this episode blew my mind. Anyway.
And then when he goes up to call to his mom, Alice Cooper also makes it a point to start some beef with Jughead, who she now knows, you know.
This is our pretty much one and only glimpse of the old BM kind of coming out.
Yeah.
For a second, because she's like, "This was obviously the serpents," and she's starting drama. I did take away a point. We are still keeping track. She is down to six.
Oh no!
But yeah, I mean, she racked up a ton last season. She can afford to lose a couple. I'm fine. But she is at six. So
Archie then goes and calls his mom, and it's a very, very tough phone call.
Yeah, I was just like, "Yep, still destroying me." Only note.
And then.
Riverdale.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, you miss it. Wait, let me give you another one.
Go for it, clean. Riverdale.
Then we CW, I am available if you need a foosh boy.
A foosh boy.
I am the best foosh boy.
That sounds like a role on a porn set.
Your favorite character comes back. Well, your former favorite character comes
back. Yeah, I don't really like OCP anymore, but OCP shows up.
Still sucks. He makes it clear real quick how much he still sucks.
He manages to make a lot of mistakes in this episode.
He is the worst sheriff. People are getting murdered all the time in your town, bud.
He does two terrible things, and the first one's in this scene. So he shows up for some questioning. Obviously, this is now an open investigation of what happened, and he needs the gaps filled in on what happened after the shot. He also introduces to another gang name, which is called the Jingle Jangles. Don't want to don't want to just ride over that. That happened. There's the Southside Serpents, and then there's the Jingle Jangles.
It sounds like all of the gangs are named after old Neil Diamond songs.
They sound like cereals, like sugary cereals. And I bet maybe that's what it is. They went down the aisle and they all pointed out, okay, you get to be the Southside Sugary Serpents, but we'll take away the sugar and you guys be the Jingle Jangles. We don't need to change that at all.
And you're Sugar Smacks. That's yeah. My gang. I'm the Sugar Smacks.
Questioning Archie and Jughead, and they, you know, they're asking him questions. He then speculates based off of no evidence things in front of these youths he shouldn't.
If we can rewind for a moment, because he does transition into this conversation. So he asked Archie some very basic questions.
Yeah.
And Archie gives him really good info. He tells him the color of his pants. He tells him the jacket he was wearing. He tells him how the holes were cut out of the mask. He then tells him the eye color of the dude. Mm-hmm. Sheriff OCP, of course, writes none of this down. His best eyewitness, at the point he will remember it best, takes none of this as if it's useful, this pretty well-drawn image of a person. Yeah. That I'm guessing someone in the area would have seen fleeing the scene.
But he's sure to...
Sheriff.
He's sure to plant the seed in this young boy's mind that maybe his dad was killed not for just simple money robbery, but it could have been a vendetta, and someone could be actively trying to kill his dad, and that if this doesn't succeed, maybe he'll come back. So he's sure to plant that seed.
Well, I think we should start our own Riverdale campaign, maybe a hashtag, something to kind of affect the show. I want... Sheriff OCP to be the one murdered at the beginning of season 3. I think that would, although I don't think anyone would care, because like he continually tries to ruin people's lives because he's bored.
Yeah.
He's actually getting worse. Anyway, continue.
Then we go to Veronica and Betty, and she's stressing about being a girlfriend to Archie. This is a uncharted waters for her, and she's in a very upon taking this girlfriend kind of moniker, she is now pushed into one of the most difficult parts of when you're in a relationship, and that is during tragedy and stress and death almost, and so she's rightfully stressing out about being a girlfriend, being a good girlfriend. And then that turns into Archie coming back, and Archie is now curious about the Lodge's involvement, and particularly Daddy Lodge, because he puts two and two together with this whole vendetta theory that it could be Hiram upset because he did not sell his shares, and so he wants to know, how could that have worked out?
Jughead starts piecing this together in the scene. I think... he, unbeknownst to him, is actually not only the best investigative journalist in town.
Yeah.
I think he might be the only one.
Like, actually investigative. Like, actually does investigation.
Like, what if accusations were based on evidence? I think is a really important nugget of information that he relies on.
And, yeah. I feel like that's something that a lot of people should remember. Just but even
we,
in real
we
life.
We learn in this scene... that Fred had fired the Serpents, and that might have led to one of them being mad. So there are a few doors opened for suspects here, but then the doctor walks in. And
Doc shows up. Fred is bullets out. Bleeding's done. Bleeding's been stopped, but he's not breathing on his own, so he's on life support still, and Archie should go and talk with him and be positive. That transitions us to another dream where we're in the construction office, and Archie is in...
Sorry. I'm trying to remember what she did. Betty's mom comes back at the end of this scene.
Does she?
I gave her a point back. She was actually back at 7 because she was showing nothing but empathy and love for all of the people and letting her personal stuff go. So even the Jughead stuff, she really has buried actually at this point. But I wanted to make sure her point was on the record. She is back at 7. Continue, John.
Got to keep score.
I do. Yeah. With her, I do. Because it's making her a better person. I think this is working. My strategy is working.
Yeah. Because they also point out that Archie should go home. And that's what it is. That's what it is. Everyone yeah. points out that Archie should go home, take his dad's stuff home, get a change of clothes for his dad, change his own clothes. And that's when Alice is like, well, I'll be here and hold the fort down. You go take care of yourself. And so that's a good mom. Good mom moment. Good mom.
I like her like a lot again. I like her a hell of a lot more than Hermione right now because Hermione has been playing this game. And Hermione she played it the whole time.
Okay, so we're in a dream. Yeah. At the construction office, this is at a time where theoretically when Archie took over or joined the business and it's now Andrew and Son, and Archie is telling him that he can leave because he can handle the business. And what he's referencing is that his dad can join the other departed members of the family because his dad died or is dying. And so it's just kind of more death fears in dream form for Fred. There's a short dream sequence that then goes to the Andrews house where Archie and Ronnie went, and Archie meets Vegas and realizes he needs to take Vegas out for a walk.
It was the most adorable scene of all time. Like, Archie smiles, he feels good. I mean, he's covered in his dad's blood, but, like, for a moment, we see just joy on yeah. the show. It, like, it allowed us a moment.
Archie changes his jacket, which is covered in blood, but he doesn't change his shirt, which is now covered in blood as well.
I thought that looked so cool. I thought it was a baller move.
You were just buying into everything of his aesthetic right now.
I very much am. But I liked that he's like, I got to walk the dog. And she's like, no, your dad almost got murdered. Maybe you should take a shower and get back there. And she's like, I'll walk the dog. And then I guess the concession between them is that they'll both walk the dog and he yeah. won't take a shower. So
that worked out.
Because they both take showers later. Woo!
Yeah. No, they do. Archie on the walk talks about how Vegas was originally the dog he wanted and the dog he was going to be responsible for, but kind of lets us know that it kind of evolved into Fred became the one who was responsible for Vegas, and Fred loves Vegas, and that, you know, that Archie kind of uses that as a metaphor for the care that his dad had, because he watched Vegas so that Archie could go do other things that he wanted to go do.
There is some foreshadowing structurally here that I just want to kind of. I mean, this is a podcast where we're supposed to speculate, right?
So, go for it.
What is interesting here is that Archie very much has a realization that things he takes on that are supposed to be his own responsibility, his dad ends up taking on. And the illusion's a little too on the nose, and the show never made it clear because there really aren't motives in play for the shooting yet. But, man, what a cool mid-season reveal it would be if actually the shooter was there to kill Archie, not his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Archie was stirring up way more than his father was.
Yeah.
So my speculation is that the responsibility of even getting shot, his dad took for him.
Well, we'll mark that down as a possibility. We'll put that up on the board.
Though, we learn later the killer had ample opportunity to kill Archie and did not, so.
Yes. And then we go from there back to, and the story makes Ronnie very sad, and that was kind of how it ended. Go to the hospital. Jughead, for all intents and purposes, kind of hires the Serpents to help with the investigation of trying to find who could have done this, and they say that they're going to go look in every hidey hole in the area to try to find what happened and who did it.
But he is exercising the strings he has in the way he can. So I was always kind of on his team, but everyone really pushes on him a little harder than I think they need to, because it doesn't mean he's in the Serpents.
Utilizing the resources available in order to help what's going on right now.
Anyway, the most important note I've ever written on this show ever, smash cut to Archie's pecs.
Yeah, this is not a complaint. I'm saying we didn't even get past episode one of season two without a shirtless Archie. And I just want to say that they're on point by making that decision.
They didn't even show his head. They started on his pecs. They're like, here you go.
There we go. And he's in the shower.
And he's kind of having trouble dealing with it for a second.
Are you supposed to shower with a cast on?
No, absolutely not. I thought so too. Does he have a... Where's his cast?
He's got the cast on from punching the ice.
Still?
Yeah, it's in the scene. It's wet.
You're supposed to put a bag on it and kind of hold it.
That's what I thought.
I don't break, but once you hit 30, you just don't break bones anymore. It's a thing you forget about. Because when you're a teenager, everything you do breaks your bones all the time. And you don't realize that actually getting older, there is one great thing. You stop breaking your bones till you're about 60, and then you shatter all of them all the time. So it's good.
It's a parabola of breakage.
Yeah, for 25 more years, John, we're gonna not destroy our bones.
So then this scene turns into something that I wasn't expecting, where
HBO shows up.
HBO shows up. Knock, knock, knock. We'd like to take our clothes off. Is that okay? Okay, come on in. Yeah.
They could have leaned a little harder into the fact that you have two, I don't want to say kids. Yeah, I mean, late age teenagers that are pretty emotionally broken up. So I was like, fine, whatever.
Ronnie checks on Archie. He says he's okay. She then thinks about it, and she enters the bathroom. She takes her clothes off, and she gets in the shower. But guess what? She leaves the pearls on, because that's what's important.
But she got Archie to smile.
I wrote down, Archie smiles the best smile ever when she offers, I was thinking I could get in the shower too. And he has this great smirk that I think is the most, award-winning acting anyone's ever done.
It was too wide, because it almost implies, maybe there are good things for my dad getting shot. And it's like, no, Archie. But at the same time, it cheered him up for a second. So it wasn't even a bad plan. It was just a little racier than last season.
It was.
I guess. But before it was will they, won't they kiss? And now it's will they get into the shower with each other now?
Yeah. A lot of nudiness. We go to the hospital where, Kevin kind of wants to know if Betty and Jughead did it. Betty lets him know that they said, I love you. And that kind of really triggers Kevin, because he sees this as a mirror to his relationship with Joaquin, because Joaquin's serpent and Jughead now could be a serpent. And he's very much against that.
It sucks though. Here's the thing, Kevin, your dad sucks. Jughead is doing all of the right things, including exercising whatever attachments he has in the way he can, whereas your dad continues to blame literal children for crimes. So maybe you get a mirror. I don't know.
But that scene is cut short because Cheryl shows up a slow-mo hair flip.
Oh, so good. Cheryl, I missed you.
I am so stupid excited about Cheryl's arc this season, and it started off great. She tells a story, because they go and they go Cheryl's here, so they go and she's with someone who's being wheeled in, and
it's we don't quite get this
yeah, because they're revealing something we didn't see in the last season. She lets us know it's her mom. She tells everyone a story. She tells everyone about the fire, but makes a story about it, that it was an accident, and that her mom went in back into the fire to save her and got third-degree burns and acute smoke inhalation.
It is important to know that Cheryl is now guilty of, we know, attempted murder, I guess assault. What is the charge for not? I mean, she has ruined her mother's body and ability to breathe. She's done horrible, horrible things.
Well, she didn't burn her mom. She burned the house down. Her mom.
She started the fire, and her mother got burned. She burned her mom. Remove the middle part of that sentence.
Right, but I'm
defender. Go for it.
I'm not saying that she is not a cause.
I need a gavel.
For the burns, but her mom got out of the house safely and went back in. So,
according to Cheryl.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking to her mom in private later.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she reveals, she tells everyone she went in to go get her, but she went in for the picture. So her mom burned herself for a stupid picture.
Then I did not put that together. Which picture? I must have not.
Later on, when she's having the threatening scene, she tells her that she went in for this family portrait or something instead of for Cheryl, as Cheryl's telling the story.
Okay, well, so Cheryl is 80% as evil as I thought she was.
Yeah. Arson
still pretty bad. I mean, she definitely caused the thing that hurt her mother, but her mother made the decision. Okay. I'm tracking.
We go back to the Andrews, and Ronnie has opened up all of Fred's stuff, and Archie asks where his dad's wallet is. Can't find the wallet. This really sets him off, and he does a 180 after having sexy nakey time in the shower.
Yeah, and dog, you gotta wait like at least an hour before you go after your girlfriend, man.
It's like eating like, and going in the pool.
Bad look. She just really like did everything she could to help you out and exposed herself literally and figuratively and emotionally to this guy that also had those same problems. But man, he is just a douche. I just kept writing, Jesus, oh God. Like,
yeah, he gets angry and tells Ronnie to go. Like literally tells the girl who just got in the shower with him to go.
Well, yeah, because at one point he's like, I want you to leave. And she goes, she stops for a second and then she turns. She's like, do you really want me to leave? And he goes, I want you to go. Like he is so forceful.
Yeah. But Ronnie starts to leave. And has this really great moment where she decides, nah, and kind of reads
for
what
the
actually,
right reasons.
Yeah, she reads the subtext of what just happened in a stroke of like emotional genius that I've never had in my entire life, and turns around and calls Archie out on what he just did and really what it was about, and consoles him for like what he's going through and tells him, I'm not going anywhere, so you can just F off with this whole like you know, making separation from us for your own you know, needs.
I think the implication of the scene based on what we've seen so far, and I'm not defending Archie, I'm simply explaining what I think he was going through, because I think
contextualizing.
He was a real dick in this scene. Like, don't get me wrong, she was 100% in the right and he was 100% in the wrong. But he was emotionally manipulated by this situation, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it doesn't matter. I was gonna, well, if you trace all the events, he clearly was about to lose it, because he spent this entire time staying strong, in front of everyone all the time, and then right at the moment he realizes he's about to lose it, he just gets mad and tells her to leave, because he knows he's about to.
Yeah.
And then she says, no. And then he's like, fine, I will lose it on you. Like,
yeah. Because subconsciously he's realizing what the missing wallet means and what it means about what he did after the gunman shot his dad. And so it's obviously a huge trigger for him. And we understand why later. We go to the sheriff's place. That's called the police station.
I noticed in this lineup, they don't have to say anything. Again, Sheriff OCP. You know that he has heard his voice, yes?
Yes.
So why not try to collect the data from all of the people in your lineup in such a way where you could get, I don't know, all of it?
Yeah.
God, Sheriff OCP sucks.
Yeah, so we do this whole usual suspects lineup.
Sorry, I just realized one thing that's actually very important. If you are just tuning into this podcast for the first time, he is Sheriff OCP. We know his real name is not that. He is OCP because he is Sheriff Old Chris Pine. He looks like Chris Pine plus 25, 30 years. I just wanted to clarify real quick in case you were new.
We probably should have done that. So you do the lineup, and all their masks and jackets are on, and they all start coming forward, and Archie looks at them, and he can clearly tell it's not them, especially because of the look of the gunman that was at him and the color of his eyes.
I mean, that guy's eyes were like, because Archie says they're green. I feel like one of the facts he could have told the sheriff that the sheriff definitely didn't write down, they are a real green.
They are very green.
Emerald.
And this is like a PTSD moment. In full fledged in all colors, that it starts really bothering Archie as he looks at these guys in there, and they look somewhat like this guy who just, you know, point a gun at him. But we go to the
which every other character rightfully points out, maybe we shouldn't have sent him to do that alone.
Literally in the next scene.
A minor.
Yeah.
Like,
We go to the hospital. Ronnie kind of gets Betty and Jughead on wallet duty to try to go find it, and says it might be at Pop's, and so she kind of sends them there. Jughead is thoroughly convinced that this might not be a random robbery, and so you could tell he's on the case with that. And then her Hermione shows up.
Before, or maybe during, I don't know. I wrote one of Jughead's lines down because they kind of pressure him on that, like, hey, do you know where we live? And he says, think of where we live. Fathers are killing their sons. And I was like, oh, yeah. This show's getting real. All right.
Jughead is very much of the mind that anything can happen in this town, and it's been proven, so therefore we need to keep everything as a possibility. Hermione shows up, we see that, but we go outside to have a nice little motorcycle ride with Jughead and Betty, and Jughead likes to go fast. That's all my notes for that scene.
It wasn't, bike thing is like, whatever.
Yeah, it's just to show them leaving on the bike. We go to the chapel inside the hospital.
Do you realize that no one in the Scooby Gang has a car? I just realized that. He's the only one with a vehicle, and it's a bike, because none of them have cars. They're all 18, aren't they?
They are.
17 or 18.
Yeah. We go to the chapel. Ronnie confronts her mom on the possible involvement of their family in this whole debacle.
This scene.
But... Hermione is on defense for dad being involved in this, and Ronnie is like, nope, I think you might have done this or been involved with this.
There's something very important here, because like I'm 100% not on Hermione's team, because the most important thing to me in this scene that happens right away is Ronnie accuses her mom of having something to do with this. She then spends the next 2 minutes not denying it.
Yep.
You're her parent, and she just said, I think you helped kill this guy or did kill this guy or shot him or whatever. Nothing.
In fact,
nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
nothing.
Yeah. To the point where her response is telling her daughter to get back in line with the family, again, not denying any involvement with this.
Yeah.
And even makes it a point to tell her daughter, I should slap you for what you're insinuating.
But before, she doubles down, because I wrote these lines down because they made my heart sing. Hermione says, do you really believe that? And then Veronica, who is always the best, turns back and says, if the Milano Bolonic fits.
It's good line.
It is. It's a good shoe. It's a very expensive shoe.
These writers. I love these writers. I want to kiss every single
one
of them.
They know their stuff.
Yeah. So that ends very awkwardly, and there's so much tension in the room.
Hermione is, because it's all very red, they go to a room that is lit by red, but she goes, I think, full on evil here. This, she is pushing way further. This Hyrum connection is, I don't know, something's going on with her.
We're still in the hospital. All the students have showed up. Reggie and the Pussycats. Was that the same actor as Reggie? Have we met Reggie? I feel like I don't remember him.
No, his hair was longer.
Yeah, but maybe his hair was longer. Because Reggie was in the last season. He was the bulky brick house.
The guy that broke Archie's hand the first time, wasn't he?
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. It didn't look the same. I got to look that up. And then we go to the room where Archie.
Wait. Have the Pussycat?
Yeah, showed that's up what I'm saying. The Reggie shows up. Pussycat dolls show up.
Right, but there's one very important thing with the Pussycat scene because it was the only thing I hated in the whole episode.
What'd they do?
So Josie walks up and Archie's like, "Man, yeah, he's like really in it," and she's like, Josie and the Pussycats are here, and he can have as many of our 9 lives. And it was just like, you don't have to be on brand for condolences, SpaghettiOs on 9/11. Greatest ad room.
Archie's dad has a room now, and so Archie can now visit his dad.
And his dad's doing a lot better. Not awake yet.
No, but he's like.
But he can visit, so that is very good news. If you cannot visit, that is terrible news. So.
We go to another. Archie starts talking to his dad and is trying to be positive. And then we go to another dream sequence where Archie is letting his dad. He's going to propose to Ronnie, there's some really foreboding like imagery here of Pops coming by and points at Fred and he says, time dies. Cause Fred's like, man, I can't believe that they're already doing this. And then he points his finger at Fred and points out he's got a bullet hole. And so that's just really, really sad and scary imagery. But then we go to real Pop's place, not dream sequence Pop's. And Jughead and Betty are there, and Pops is, like, cleaning up blood.
He reveals a lot of very important things because the person that broke in did not take any money.
Yeah.
Because everyone's saying it was probably just a random thing. They probably needed money. They didn't take any, so the wallet doesn't make sense. The like you're not gonna go to a diner and steal one guy's wallet and not what's in the cash register, like,
yeah,
ever. So
yeah, Pop even calls the guy because he says he's seen thugs and he's seen people who have been there to rob. He called this guy the Angel of Death, which essentially is a name given to someone who was there to kill someone, as in you were not there for anything else but to take a life away, which because it is your job.
Leads me to believe that Pops or Pop, I can't call you, not Pops, he's just Pop. But I believe he has like a really dark, hilarious backstory about, I need to know it.
Yeah.
Give me my Pop spinoff of it.
He's like a mercenary.
Did
or something.
We ever meet Pop last season?
Briefly, like one-liners.
Yeah, I figured there was something, but this was like a character now. Like,
yeah, this is the most of Pop we've gotten.
And Jughead is always hilarious through this entire scene. Because when Pop goes into the
Angel,
the
of,
angel
death.
Of death coming to take, like, he gets all serious and Jughead's like, yo, bring it down, man. Like, a little much, little laying, yeah, a little thick.
Calls him the guy from the Friday the 13th, you know.
Yeah.
Then Pop, you know, being a really kind of cool guy, offers the kids food.
Greatest double dog dialogue of all time.
Yeah, Betty's like, nope. Jughead's like, I'm always hungry. It's, yeah, great lines over each other.
Which, it's such a Jughead thing. I love it.
Yeah, it was very much like, this made me feel warm and fuzzy because it was very much them playing to the Jughead from the comics who's known, yeah, for his eating.
Yeah, but it in a way that is still through the lens of the show. Like, they, yeah, are inventing their own Jughead, that it is very much spiritually the old Jughead. So.
While they're eating, Betty confronts Jughead on the jacket incident and you know, worries about him, and worries about, you know, him going to where he's going to live and with his family that could be involved with the Southside Serpents, which then leads Jughead to reveal that he's made an agreement with this new foster family that he's going to stay in the trailer because, yeah, he wants to stay close to his dad. And the trailer...
This is where I started to... You get fed up with the other people on the show because they're like, he's going to be a serpent. He's going to kill people. He's going to do all these things. We're going to speculate. And he's like, no, your dad got shot, and I thought maybe I could exercise some things to get in. I mean, but he says pretty openly he's not going to,
yeah,
do that.
Betty is still very worried about him, though, no matter what his intentions, because she kind of understands that even if he doesn't intend to, you know, become a serpent or that kind of thing, just the involvement alone could have bad, you know,
just saying, writers, give Jughead a break for like 1 minute, just one time. Just give him a break. His dad is still going to prison forever. Even though he was just exonerated of murder, he still has to go to jail forever.
Mom doesn't want him.
Yeah, like, he's hosed. So we
go back to the hospital.
Cheryl.
Oh, this was a scene.
Oh.
Cheryl, yes, talks to Mom. This is where she reveals that to her mom, the story she's telling everyone about how... And
can I set the scene real quick? Because her mom is so badly burned that she is literally in bandages from head to toe and has to wear an oxygen mask because she cannot breathe on her own the, yeah, air, you know, in the atmosphere anymore. So, yeah, she's in really bad shape, she's, and the show has never been darker.
She's very fragile right now, and very vulnerable. Vulnerable is a better word. Mommy is very vulnerable for one of the first times in the show. And Cheryl lets her know that she's telling everybody that she went in to save Cheryl, not the portrait she went in to go for. And then she just really threatens her mom and lets her know about how the new order of things are.
Cheryl is literally 1,000 times the monster she was before. She was like mean sometimes.
Yeah.
Now she is terrifying.
She is crimping the oxygen tube to someone terrible right now.
Yeah. The vibe I sort of get from this, especially looking back on it, you know, in those scenes where like the evil mad scientist is ultimately destroyed by their own creation. Because I don't think Cheryl's making it through this show. Like, she has crossed lines now where I don't know how they're going to pull her back. Maybe they will. But I feel bad and not bad because Cheryl's mom definitely created this person.
Yes.
Like, her cruelty was embedded into her. So
yeah. And she was such a key part in the breaking of Cheryl near the end of the last season, which we find even more about in this scene, because she says if mom doesn't get in line, she'll tell people what really happened in the barn with daddy. So that means, you know, something happened in that barn with daddy being hung that didn't involve, I think, daddy hanging himself. I don't know. Did you not catch up on that, Mikey?
Well, I mean, no, I did. I'm trying to think back to last season on what we saw and what we didn't see to float that theory, though their actions definitely support that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and she just kind of lets her mom know she's in charge now, and she ends the scene with, things are going to be different now, mommy, better.
If mommy did, in fact, murder daddy, then crimping her oxygen is so okay that I don't, like, that's the, Cheryl needs to do way worse things if that's the case, so.
We're still in the hospital, we're back in
Veronica
the
does the sweetest thing of all time!
She buys Archie a new wallet for his dad.
Which was obviously a thing that Archie cared deeply about as a symbol of his dad, and it represented it, so she's like, I got you a wallet. It was the sweetest thing.
Yeah, which kind of gets Archie vulnerable enough to want to confess about what really happened at Pop's, which is then pause because Jughead shows up with food.
Which is hilarious.
And at this point, I'm just screaming, I need confession time. I need to know what happened.
Yeah, they definitely were piecemealing that reveal out a little bit. The next scene is the scene because Archie, now that... Instead of being distracted, like I think literally every other sort of mystery show on television would have done, which is someone walked in with burgers. I guess we can't have a conversation. Archie immediately pulls out Betty, Veronica, and Jughead to tell them. So they don't make us wait any longer.
But the reveal is not really a huge reveal, although it is. It's more of a character reveal and not a big event reveal. It's that Archie, after his dad was shot, instead of, in his words, tackling the gunman or going to his dad, he froze up and literally kneeled down and was like frozen in fear to a man pointing a gun at him.
Who just shot his father. So putting your hands in the air and getting on the ground is actually probably one of your best moves.
Yeah,
so,
not a completely like unheard
it's
of
set
reaction.
Up if this is like a bad, and I'm not saying Archie couldn't have thrown that guy through a window because he's built like a truck, but like, It was understandable. He felt really bad, and it was like, dude, you're fine.
It's not a well known scientific fact, but bullets beat muscles, no matter.
No,
what.
I think if you punch bullets when they're coming at you, you're fine. I've heard that.
But he feels terrible for this, and he's worried the gunman, with Archie having been frozen and even closing his eyes, that the gunman had time to get his dad's wallet, could have all his information, and could be coming back, and he's frightened of this.
We cut to the scariest, most heart-exploding, because again, this is chapter 14, A Kiss Before Dying, and this entire episode... I've been watching and waiting and terrified, like, who's going to kiss Fred? Who's going to kiss Fred? I thought there would be, like, some natural thing for this Judas kiss. But it's Cheryl in there kissing Fred on the forehead. And I was like, no!
Yeah, she does it in repayment for the kiss of life that she says Archie gave her.
Which was true. She was being truthful. That actually was a red herring kiss, which I thought was so clever.
Yeah.
Because I really thought we were going to do this show and I was going to have to quit you. So good on you.
Cheryl might be broken.
Cheryl is definitely broken, but
she did have
good intentions.
She did. She's doing out of like care, but she leaves the room saying toodles.
Toodles.
Toodles. Like that's how she leaves a room where a man is dying or potentially not going to ever wake up. And so Archie somehow processes that and sits down and starts talking to Dad about the conversation he imagines he would have had with his dad if the gunman hadn't showed up, which is talking about what happened with Ronnie and him the night before, which then switches us to this our last dream sequence where it's a wedding. Where they didn't do a very, they put out a promo photo of this, of Archie in a kilt. And I'm really sad they didn't have a really good shot in the show of it, because Archie in a kilt is amazing.
The only time you see Archie in a kilt is when his dad jumps in front of a bullet.
Yeah.
in a dream, not a spoiler.
You're going to want to Google for that image and just have, you know, set aside like a half an hour to just sit there and take it in. Okay. Of Archie in a kilt.
It is good. It is very, he does not skip leg day, that boy. My goodness.
He's a good, good built boy.
My glamorous goodness. Anyway, so we're in this wedding and the gunman is walking up and Fred, very protective, is trying to scream and he's screaming, but he can't make any noise. Yeah. And he realizes the only thing he can do is jump in front of the bullet before he shoots Archie. And that's why John,
he wakes up.
The greatest moment of all time.
We saved
Thank you,
Mikey.
Show.
This episode saved Mikey. Mikey can live another day, another week. Thank you so much,
Here you go.
Riverdale
here's
writers.
Here's your hashtag. If Fred dies, we riot. There's your hashtag.
Yeah, I mean,
I will
know.
Go to the nearest Dave and Buster's and I will burn that shit to the ground. You kill Fred. Don't you dare show.
You've been warned. Okay, so
that's not a real warning. I'm not really gonna do
that's
that.
That's not a real warning.
Please don't send police to my house that are very angry. I'm actually very nice, very calm, very rational.
Mikey doesn't even go outside very often.
I'm outside so, right now.
Outside recording in a field, as we always do.
That's a bird. That was a real bird. Whoa, there's birds outside.
This podcast has derailed into something strange.
I'm happy because Fred's alive.
I'm happy because Fred's alive too. Archie apologizes to his dad upon waking and says that he will protect his dad.
That was Fred, a weird one.
Yeah, but Fred, being maybe the only good parent in this whole stupid town, even upon like his deathbed, essentially.
Can we be fair here? Fred might be the only person in town that has not threatened their child to their face to kill them.
With like physical violence. And he tells Archie that he came back to protect Archie. And
I was fine. That line didn't hurt me at all. I wasn't emotionally distressed by that's why I came back to protect you. And I was like, I'm fine.
Our UPS guy grew three times that day. We go outside and Betty, you know, she does kind of a good girlfriend move, and she says she supports Jughead through this whole figuring things out process. As she should, because Jughead's got a few things going on right now, and we shouldn't just put him in a corner, okay? And then they kiss. And
yeah,
nice.
They make out in the rain, and it's the best.
It's good. It's a good time.
Jughead comes home to quite the surprise, though.
A little bit different than your girlfriend kissing you. Serpents have brought some loudmouth over to his house who they've roughed up because the loudmouth was talking about Fred got what was coming to him and that kind of thing. But then it turns out the guy, after being beaten senseless, had no involvement with this whole thing and was just a loudmouth, to which Jughead's like, why'd you bring him over if he's not involved with this?
Why did you get the inside of his body onto the top of my carpet? That's
yeah.
not great.
But this is the serpents kind of letting Jughead know that with or without the jacket, he's a serpent to them, and they want him to let his dad know that they did this for him.
Important, another theory here. So there's a new character in the Serpents that's the sort of second-in-command guy.
Long-haired pirate serpent.
No. Long-haired pirate serpent is the main one. The guy
with
it.
The young one.
The young one who we saw in the first scene, we went and talked to him. We saw him again here. I think he shot Fred. I think it was him.
I don't
think he is so weird in every scene, but always in the background and always a little off. I don't know if it's a thing people noticed and paid attention to or not, but I zeroed in on him really quick because I was like, there's something not right.
I have my own theory.
Okay,
I'm not going to tell you my theory right now.
Why? Because
I want to hold on to my theory.
Credit later when it's right.
I don't care because my theory, I think, will affect how you watch the show, and I don't want to do that right now.
Okay, that's fair.
That's the only reason why. I'm not trying to tease. It's because I think it'll affect how you watch the show, and I don't want that to happen.
So we cut to not Billy Zane.
We don't.
To be fair, I want to defend the show a little bit here. Billy Zane was a funny joke. It would have been cool. The guy they got to play Hiram, perfect.
He's good.
He is scary from moment one.
And pretty. He's scary and pretty.
But he's like super villain level of like, whoa.
Daddy Lodge is in the house. He's in like the shadows and Ronnie shows up and he kind of says how he came home early to surprise her, and he's upset that she wasn't there to for his surprise. And Ronnie has this great line where she goes, "I've changed. The question is, have you?" And so she's like, she's on the defense. She's on the offense. She's all over this right now.
I am so into Veronica right now because her parents became super villains. I mean, Veronica has now gotten to the point where she is basically in the Marvel comic book, The Runaways, where her parents are just super villains now. And she does not back down. She doesn't take any of it.
I mean, there's like a literal kiss the ring of the king moment.
She believes that her parents might have been capable of getting people shot and or killed. And she does not bat an eyelash. And I love Veronica Lodge. You're great.
And she also lets them know, as kind of a stab at them with her theory, that Fred Andrews woke up. And that's kind of how that scene ends. And then we go to the drug dub.
I wrote hug dub accidentally, but I kind of like it. So you want to talk about... No, wait. So the jug dub starts with Mrs. Andrews' home. Molly Ringwald's back. Yes. But Fred is also at home. He's released. So he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But Archie will now just guard the door in front of an open door. That was such a weird... Because there's a back door and a front door. And Archie sits in the middle of them facing forward. But then keeps checking the door behind him. I'm like, can you just go sit in the kitchen, like sort of where you can see both doors?
If I was playing PUBG, I would take that tactic and I'd be in the back. I wouldn't be sitting in the middle with my back door in the door.
He's clearly past 10th grade. He's taken geometry. He should know this stuff.
But
either
yeah,
way, he's a good kid. He's looking out for his dad. He wants to make good. And that's another thing. That is such a red herring. That Archie feels like he has to defend his dad, like that guy's going to come back and shoot him on purpose. And I'm like, Archie, he's coming for you, bud.
Maybe.
He's coming for you. No, I don't know. Anyway.
That doesn't happen because...
The most surprising scene of all ever time. Holy God, I'm still recovering.
Yes. I mean, this show.
Grundy's undies is back. Who saw that coming?
Jug Dub takes us over to Greendale. And reveals, that the guy's not going to come over to Archie's house.
Takes us over to Greendale, where the cast of Community is still hanging out.
Oh, I miss Community.
I do too.
Miss Grundy has a new student who is young. They kissed. That's literally the line I wrote. I was in the middle of trying to describe the guy,
Forgotten about it. I didn't even think about the kiss. Like, this shocked me so much. I didn't think about the name of the episode.
Yeah. Wait, what was the name of the episode? We didn't say that at the beginning.
No, I did a second ago when Fred got kissed by Cheryl. The name of the episode is A Kiss Before Dying.
And that's what happened.
And I didn't realize this was about to happen until the stick was already around her throat. But to be fair, they did demonize her character fully.
Because she didn't learn from her lesson. She was doing it again.
They have now assassinated her character entirely. Because, I don't know, you go back and forth on it before because you feel like she has real emotions and she's a real person. Not so much.
No, she's a predatorial person who...
Right. And then so when the same dude from the diner, same mask, shows up with... Was it a pool cue? What was your...
It was a bow, a violin or a cello bow. He killed her with her
poetry,
instrument.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Chew on this metaphor, Grundy.
Yeah, and kills Grundy. So we got someone who's got a murder agenda.
Yeah, but I did not. That shocked me to my core to bring back Grundy and do that.
Yeah, that was good. That's good.
It was the smartest. I mean, it's just as writing goes, that's crazy smart.
I'm excited about the season. I'm so excited.
I am whipped up excited. Jonathan, who is your star Riverdalian of the week?
Cheryl.
Really?
I'm so excited about her. And she's
you actually shocked me there for the first time with your star Riverdalian, because
yeah.
one person is solely responsible for Fred not being dead, and yet you pick Cheryl. That's interesting.
Archie was good. Archie had a really good episode.
Saved someone's life. Cheryl almost took one, but yeah, sure, go. Yeah,
it's the story that I'm most interested in, and her brokenness.
That's,
like,
that's fair. She has become the Sawyer of this show.
Yes,
Cheryl is now Sawyer.
Cheryl is now Sawyer, and I'm very excited to see what she does, because she was even great in the last season, and they were able to take it to... She keeps evolving to these new things that I just want to know what happens with her. So Cheryl's mine. I know Archie was really good in this episode.
So I did. Archie is my star Riverdalian. I did a thing I really don't do with any entertainment except for Riverdale. I never saw a trailer for season 2. I never saw any promo photo. I actually went into this completely blank. And man, that is a roller coaster I'm not sure my heart can take. But we'll keep moving forward in this way and see where we land here. But I thought this was a brilliant season opener. We have a new mystery. Actually, two. Although... They're two one's a murder, one's a shooting, but they're, I guess, the same person. I guess we're not really sure if the masked man, I'm burping all the beer now.
You gassy boy.
I'm a burpy boy. Did we see the eye color of the attacker? It was green?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make a note about it. I just wrote, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, because I was terrified. I sort of always had a soft spot for Grundy in a weird way.
Yeah, the bow was
in like
the,
a stay away from schools kind of way.
Yeah, so it's a good episode. We're excited. We're going to be coming out with these every week that the episodes come out. So be sure to like and leave reviews if you can, and you know get that hashtag going. If Fred dies, we riot. Let's go get it!